Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We have been talking about how the words of Jesus Christ reveal who God is, and I have stressed the importance for us, Bible-believing Christians, to have the daily and joyful discipline of reading Christ. What did he say? All of us can access this in the New Testament. And this got me to thinking about the Red Letter Bible. Have you seen one of those? Maybe you own one. I do. I have it right here alongside all the editions of God's Word that I own, read, and consult. The Red Letter Bible is a full Bible in which all of the words of Jesus are printed in a red font. Only Jesus' words are in red. And the reason is so that we put an emphasis on the Lord's words. If used properly, I think a red letter Bible can be a big help and resource to those of us who want to really know what Jesus actually said. But I must warn you about the dangers in reading a red letter Bible. For one, some people end up making the words of Jesus more important than all the other words in Scripture. That is not right. The Bible teaches that every word in Scripture is God's word, and all the words have equal weight. As 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." We must be very careful not to make what Jesus said of greater importance than what the rest of the Bible says. Do not read the Bible piecemeal. A second danger with the Red Letter Bible, or what are known as Red Letter Christians, is that these Christians purposefully take only the words of Jesus Christ and adopt them into a specific political philosophy. Here I am going to use a couple of labels, which I generally do not like doing, but I want to spend a little time on this. So-called Red Letter Christians are politically and theologically liberal, and are convinced that by focusing exclusively on Jesus' words, they can counteract conservative politics and theology. By focusing on one part of the Bible to the exclusion of the rest, they make the mistake God himself warns us about. Furthermore, their interpretation of Christ's words usually bear the dark marks of misinterpretation. And this leads to misapplication of the text in people's lives. Anyway, there are the warnings. That being said, I think if used properly, if avoiding the bad practices I just outlined, it is helpful for many Bible readers to have a red letter Bible so that we can have a sharper focus on the words of Christ, because in these words we find out who God is. The point is to encourage you to join me in knowing, memorizing, obeying, and applying what Christ has taught. If you have any questions about what I have said regarding this edition of the Bible, please write to me. And speaking of reading and interpretation, let's return to John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, and I will begin reading for context at verse 7. This is an exchange between Jesus and Philip. John 14, verses 7 through 10. Jesus begins, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to the Lord, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works." Christ says, I reveal to you who God is. To see God the Father, look to God the Son. Quoting Jesus, he who has seen me has seen the Father. That's clear. Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in him. Therefore, when we see Jesus, we see God. To know Christ is to know God. With these verses, our Lord affirms, indeed defines, God's special revelation. God reveals himself to us through Jesus Christ. And we have covered three manifestations of this revelation. First, Jesus reveals what God the Father is like, John 1, verse 18. Second, Jesus reveals God the Father's mercy and compassion through his works, John 5, verses 36 and 37, and Mark 5. Third, Jesus reveals the Father gives eternal life to those who believe in the Son through his words, John 6, verse 63, John 14, verses 7 through 10, and several other texts. I would like us to move on to talk about God's special revelation through Scripture. To do that, I will make a connection between Jesus and God's Word. But just before we do that, I invite you to make Christ the center of your life. The other day, we heard from the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 6, when he writes about the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Our Puritan theologian and pastor friend from a previous century, John Owen, commented, "We see the glory of God only in the person of Christ." Today I will add that Owen continues, quote, "It is as the representative of such a God that Christ is glorious. So we need to learn how to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He calls to us saying, behold me, look to me and be saved, Isaiah 45, 22. But what shall we see in Christ? Do we see him as the image of the invisible God, representing God's nature and will to us? Do we see him as the express image of the person of the Father, so that we have no need to ask with Philip, Lord, show us the Father, because having seen him, we have seen the Father also, John 14, 9. To see Christ so as to see God in him, that is to behold his glory, that glory which we ought to long to see and make every effort to see. But if we do not see it, we are still in darkness. Though we say we see, we are blind like others. I ask those whose minds are better attuned to heavenly things, why do you love Jesus Christ? Why do you trust in him? Why do you honor him? Why do you desire to be in heaven with him? Can you say why? If one of your reasons is that in him you behold by faith the glory of God, which otherwise would have been eternally hidden from you, especially the glory of his love in sending Christ to atone for your sins, then he is indeed precious to you. Close quote. I am convicted by these words and these questions. Don't you want to see the glory of God in the person of Christ? If, like me, you say yes, if one of our reasons is that in Jesus we behold by faith the glory of God, which otherwise would have been hidden from us, especially this love of God in the atonement of our sins, if this is one of our reasons for seeking Christ, then our Lord is indeed precious to us. In a series on the revelation of God, you might be tempted to wonder about the application of such a topic to your busy and oftentimes hard life. But what could be of more meaningful application, meeting you right where you are at, than to be persuaded to look upon Christ, to listen to Christ, because in him you will see and you will hear the glory of God? Brothers and sisters, let's be like the Apostle Paul. He was obsessed with Jesus. Listen to him again, this time in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Is that our determination also, to know nothing except Jesus Christ? And in Philippians 3, verses 7, 8, and 12, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. You hear this great love of and passion for Jesus in the apostles' words. Is this the same love and passion for Jesus evident in our lives? I think you see where I am going with this. And to be sure, this is as much a message to me as it is to you. I cannot say I have the same obsession with Jesus as Paul did. I cannot honestly say that. Looking into my deep, dark heart, it is not that I determined to know nothing except Christ, or that I consider all things as loss for the sake of Christ, of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I need to repent. I need to let go of many things I am holding too dear. I need to press on to lay greater hold of Jesus. What about you? Apply this to you and join us next time, because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.